coming up.
My nephew didn't have a chance to have his day in court for his attorney to prove his innocence.
For Vault Studios, I'm Will Johnson. You're listening to The Daily Crime. In March of last year, a high school senior and his stepsister were fatally gunned down in a New Orleans neighborhood.
Edna Carr senior Caleb Johnson was weeks away from graduating when he was gunned down last year along with his stepsister, Brianna Brown.
Now, almost 1 year to the day that one of those victims was buried, another funeral is being planned and another court case for murder.
21-year-old Hollis Carter was just minutes away from a court hearing Wednesday morning when he was fatally shot and his mother wounded.
I'm joined by WWL-TV investigative reporter Mike Perlstein. Mike, thanks for being here.
Appreciate it. Happy to join.
Mike, this all started in March of 2021. Tell us about this double homicide and where it took place.
So Algiers is a part of New Orleans, but it is separated from the rest of the city by the Mississippi River on what we call the West Bank. So that's a very large bridge across the river to a very old neighborhood known as Algiers. The neighborhood in which the double shooting and ended up being a double murder occurred was in the lower portion of Algiers, as it's called, Lower Algiers.
And in that shooting, a young man who's still in high school was killed along with his 25-year-old stepsister. Can you tell us about the victims and then what came out of that?
So victims were, as you mentioned, Caleb Johnson, who was a senior just weeks away from graduating from high school, and then a stepsister, a little bit older, age 25, named Brianna Brown. And the police report account, as well as what everyone in the neighborhood and families on both sides actually agree, that there was going to be a sale of a handgun, and somewhere along the line, that gun deal took a bad turn, and it ended up in the shooting of Caleb Johnson and Brianna Brown. Caleb died almost immediately. Brianna Brown lingered for a while before she passed away, making this a double murder. Now, supposedly, Caleb and Brianna had arranged the meeting to purchase a gun. There's some dispute over what happened next, but that rather than hand over the money to buy the gun, there was some dispute and then an attempt to take the gun without paying anything, and they end up both shot and ultimately killed.
Police caught up with a suspect, and his name is Hollis Carter. Tell us how they were able to identify Carter as the suspect.
Right. So Hollis Carter was actually a classmate and friend of Caleb Johnson. They lived in the same neighborhood, and there was somebody else with Hollis Carter, to this day, unnamed person who was there, you know, in the process of this transaction of a firearm. What is kind of a sad and tragic twist, again, that, you know, Caleb and Hollis Carter, both at the same high school, were friends. Their families knew each other, not that well, but knew each other. And that is actually how they made the contact to get together for this supposed purchase of a gun. And very, very quickly after the shooting, as many of these things go in New Orleans, which is just a big, small town where everybody knows everybody, the word of Hollis Carter being involved quickly circulated. Police caught up to him. And allegedly, he gave a confession, and that led to his arrest initially on a one count of second-degree murder and a count of attempted murder. That changed to two counts of second-degree murder when Brianna Brown passed away.
Hollis Carter remained behind bars for 5 months, is my understanding, and then was let out and was working, had a job, and was on home arrest leading up to a trial that was due to happen sometime this year, right?
That's right. His arrest was in April of 2021. The bail amount was set at $375,000, which for a double murder was actually a little on the low side by New Orleans standards. His family cobbled together the money to pay a bail bondsman. He was released in September, some 5 months later, with some pretty strict conditions of home incarceration with electronic monitoring with an ankle bracelet. And by all accounts, he adhered to that. He made every court appearance. According to his family, he worked a couple of part-time jobs for which he, you know, was granted permission to leave the house for that and for court appearances and for school. So the tragic, among the many tragic circumstances in this particular case, was that when he was shot and killed, he was on his way to his next court appearance.
Right, which brings us up to this latest development. He was on his way to the court appearance, and from what we understand from his lawyer, was planning to go to trial and say that the confession was a false confession. We can talk more about that, but what do we know about his being ambushed on the way to a hearing?
Well, the circumstances of that tragic shooting, which, like more and more shootings and other violent crimes, was captured on a surveillance camera in which his mother, along with Hollis, were in a car leaving their neighborhood, had really only, you know, left a couple minutes earlier to go to their court hearing, which is about, you know, 10 miles from where they live. But within a couple minutes, a black pickup truck can be seen on the video pulling beside them. Somebody leans out with a rifle, fires multiple shots into the car, striking and killing Hollis Carter in the head, died instantly. And Hollis Carter's mother, struck several times, was actually able at the scene with the help of a bystander to call her family and sister, rushed to the hospital where she remains today more than a week later trying to survive, according to the family, 6 bullet wounds that entered her back, did some damage to lung and diaphragm, and she remains in serious condition in the hospital.
And police have caught up with a suspect in that shooting as well now, based largely, I would assume, on that video evidence.
In fact, almost, you know, completely based on the video evidence, they made an arrest very quickly, less than 48 hours later. The video not only, you know, provided a clear picture of the truck, but of the truck's license plate, which they were able to track back to a gentleman, 46-year-old, named Bokio Johnson. Bokio Johnson is the father of Caleb Johnson, one of the two victims in that double murder a year ago. The police served a warrant at his house. They found a rifle magazine as well as an empty rifle case. And that, along with a statement that he allegedly made to detectives, which is in the police report, that he and only he had driven his truck on that day, was enough to secure a warrant for second-degree murder, as well as the attempted murder of Hollis Carter's mother.
Mike, so many lives now caught up and affected by this and lost as well. I know you talked to Hollis Carter's sister, who spoke about the fact that he was headed to a trial, presumably, and was hoping to clear his name.
And the circumstances of that, largely through court filings and Hollis Carter's attorney as well, it wasn't that they're saying the confession was completely false. However, if you look at sort of the nuances of what they were saying as a defense and in trying to clear his name and set the record straight, Hollis Carter did admit the whole scenario of bringing a gun to make a gun sale to a friend that he knew from school, and that things went south, and that he was present but did not fire the gun and those fatal gunshots that killed two people. That was a bit of a detraction from his original statement, but his attorney and family are stating that he was ready and prepared to go to court to state that he was, I guess, kind of taking the blame out of fear for the real gunman in that case, who has yet been unnamed. Police have never announced any suspects. And, you know, there are some people, he had a, you know, pretty prominent private defense attorney who takes on some high-profile cases, very insistent that they were going to be able to present the kind of evidence to back up his claim that he did not pull the trigger of those fatal gunshots.
Does the investigation continue at this point? Have you been able to ask police about that?
There are so many threads and in this cycle of violence, you know, some of the elements are basically moot. Going forward, obviously, with the prosecution of Hollis Carter is stopped with his death. The case against the person he was with, who his attorney as well as himself were stating actually fired the fatal gunshots, that remains an open case, the person at large. But, you know, with the death of Hollis Carter, that may forever go unsolved. I don't even believe that there was a whole lot of chatter, you know, just in street talk about who that might have been. So, yes, there is now, of course, a pending murder charge against Bokio Johnson, father of Caleb Johnson, you know, in the shooting and killing of Hollis Carter. That will go forward. His attorney, you know, just issued a statement of his innocence. Don't jump to conclusions, despite the strong initial evidence. But some of the cases and blame may very well have died with Hollis Carter.
And Mike, you also spoke to a local activist who talked about this cycle of violence and what appears to be a case of what some call street justice.
And yeah, let me tell you, I've covered criminal justice in New Orleans for quite a while. This very tragically is nothing new. What might be particularly gripping about this particular cycle of violence is that so much of it played out in ways that, you know, the street and families on both sides picked up very quickly, naming names, police following threads of very strong evidence, made quick arrests. So this cycle of violence, these retaliatory shootings, were able to be exposed for, you know, the community to see, when in reality, this is a longstanding problem here in New Orleans. There is, sadly, a lot of street justice where people take matters into their own hands. There are many factors involved in that, you know, beginning with, I guess, almost code of silence, not to snitch when it comes to revealing information to the police, but nevertheless, a vengeance that comes in the way of street justice is just a fact of life in New Orleans. Once again, being the big small town that it is, word does tend to circulate rather quickly, even if the information ultimately, you know, isn't all completely, you know, verified through strong forensic evidence, people have bounties on their heads, and revenge killings are carried out, I would say, on, you know, obviously, you know, a regular basis, probably far more frequently in a city with a very high homicide rate to start with. The kinds of retaliation shootings, and once again, we've been able to, you know, report deeply on some of them. I would say most go unresolved by official police, you know, investigations. But this is something, as our activists pointed out, has tracked these kinds of cases for many years, and it's just a sad staple of life in New Orleans.
That the justice system did not work for them, and perhaps someone may have taken something into his own hands. Everybody thinks that the power is with the elected officials, but it's with the people. The people are going to have to decide, do we want more of our people dying in the streets? It's just that simple.
My thanks to Mike Pearlstein, investigative reporter at WWL-TV in New Orleans. Thanks for listening to The Daily Crime. Be sure to check out our weekly show, True Crime Chronicles, available wherever you listen to podcasts. For Vault Studios, I'm Will Johnson.